Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Jakari Jackson. It's July 30th, 2014, and let's get straight into our news tonight. Now, we here at InfoWars are no strangers to controversy. It seems that people have an issue with documented fact. But, you know, every now and then, or should I say more than every now and then, people come out and attack us for completely fictional reasons, such as saying that we believe in pixies or, you know, other mythical creatures. I'm surprised they didn't say we believe in the Pegasus. But now we have Keith Overman coming out and saying that he doesn't like InfoWars. He doesn't like DredgeReport.com in a bizarre Twitter rant. And it's very likely linked to the Daily Beast article where they say that we here at InfoWars are moon landing deniers. And we've had many guests on our show and they believe in various things. It doesn't necessarily believe that we believe everything our guests are saying. But, you know, for the record, I do believe that we landed on the moon and Alex Jones does as well. But Mr. Overman, he came directly at one Paul Joseph Watson. And who better to talk about that exchange than Paul Joseph Watson himself?
Well, this took another bizarre twist this morning when Keith Olbermann, who of course was hugely respected for his anti-Bush rants around 6 to 8 years ago, then of course basically disappeared into obscurity once Barack Obama was elected and pacified all the MSNBC leftists. He engaged in a vitriolic rant targeted at me and Matt Drudge, calling us the perfect trilogy, along with Lionel Media, perfect trilogy of paranoia, sophistry, tinfoil ass hattery. So this came completely out of nowhere. I'll tell you how it links to Rand Paul in a moment. And it quickly developed into a back and forth. I said, I may look young, but I'm old enough to remember when Keith Olbermann wasn't totally irrelevant. He responded, you don't look young. I responded back, in the words of Bob Dylan, I'm younger than you. When were you last doing serious media? 8 years ago? And it went on and on. And my last message was, you know, seriously, Keith, I had huge respect for you. Now you're throwing ad hominems on Twitter, disappointed. And then he went on to state that I believe in pixies, elves and conspiracies. Now this is quite bizarre because although Olbermann is now obviously off MSNBC, he's off Al Gore's TV network. He's doing a late night sports show on ESPN. You know, he's still got over 500,000 followers on Twitter. Why is he attacking me and the Drudge Report?
And things like that happen every day. And most of the time, you know, it's somebody who's just trying to make a name for themselves, trying to get back in the news cycle. But every now and then there is a respected journalist who decides to take a shot at the alternative media, such as Geraldo Rivera. Now, Geraldo is somebody that I respect. You know, he's put out good reports over the years talking about how the troops are growing opium in Afghanistan and other good reports as well. So I definitely do hope that he retracts the comments that he made talking about how Drudge is fomenting a civil war. And he said this, he said, shame on Drudge. His authoritative website has gone hysterical on the issue of immigrant children. 14 stories like, could Ebola sneak across? Now, once again, Mr. Rivera has put out a number of good reports over the years. He's also been a guest on this show, and like I said, I hope he does retract these comments. But to say that Drudge's in-depth coverage is somehow blowing things out of proportion is something I respectfully disagree with, because we've seen the reports about the MS-13 gang members coming across the border. We've seen the reports about people with diseases such as Ebola, such as tuberculosis coming over the border. And personally, I've been down there on the border talking to the Border Patrol agents, talking to the ICE whistleblowers who say, yes, we do have people in our facilities who have these diseases, and we are very much concerned because our quarantine area is nothing more than a piece of yellow tape. We've talked to the Border Patrol who said, hey, you know, we'd love to get some help down here from the CDC, but the CDC pretty much told the Border Patrol to go fly a kite. It wasn't their issue. And, you know, it's not to say that everybody from Central America has a disease. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying everybody from Central America is a gang member. I'm not saying that either. But we have seen the reports. There's a report just last week about the woman housing an MS-13 gang member, and she didn't even know about it. We've seen the reports about an MS-13 gang roving around and killing a homeless man. We've also seen the reports, as I previously mentioned, about the Border Patrol, about the ICE agents, talking about how they have people in their facilities who do have diseases, and they don't have the facilities to really take care of that. So I do respectfully disagree and hope that Mr. Rivera will take back those comments. Indiana Governor Mike Pence learned HHS was dumping immigrant children into a state by the press, not the HHS. In a letter to President Obama, Pence wrote that the Department of Health and Human Services informed him that the federal government had housed hundreds of unaccompanied alien children in Indiana from January 1st to July 7th, 2014, but only after reports surfaced in the media. While we feel deep compassion for these children, our country must secure its borders and provide for a legal and orderly immigration process, Pence wrote. Failure to expedite the return of the unaccompanied alien children thwarts the rule of law and will only continue to send a distorted message that illegally crossing into America is without consequence. And he also said that if these children are to remain in the state of Indiana, Indiana will likely be responsible for the health, the education, and also the welfare of these children. Well, there's no maybe about that, because unless they transport them someplace else, yes, this will fall onto the Indiana taxpayer. And we also seen the governor of Massachusetts, Deval Patrick. You guys remember him from the Boston bombing. He said that he didn't know that the kids were coming into his state until he learned about it through the media. Now, some people say it's plausible deniability, but I'll go ahead and take them at their word at this point. And I keep trying to come up with a proper example to get people to understand why people are not exactly thrilled about the alien children coming over, or anybody for that matter. And the best thing I can do is this. So let's say you're at the grocery store and you have, you know, three or four kids of your own. So you're at the cash register and you pull out, you know, the $100 bill or whatever, and you're about to hand it to the cashier, and the guy behind you snatches the bill out your hand. And you turn around and you say, "Hey man, no, what's all that about?" He says, "Hey, I'm a humanitarian. I'm here to feed my children. If you have a problem with it, you're a racist." And that's the best example I could come up with as far as what's going on with bringing these children to these communities and then dropping the responsibility of said children or said immigrants on the taxpayer. And we also know that not all of these children are children that you would think about. They're not all teenagers. They're not all kids running around in diapers, even though they want you to somehow believe that these kids in diapers made this a long journey on foot by themselves. No, that's not the case. Some of these people are 31 years old under the current Obama administration standard of what a child is. These people are old enough to be my big brother. They need to take me to the water park and buy me an ice cream cone, but that's not going to happen. They just want to take my tax dollars. Once again, you can come here, but you have to do it the legal and lawful way. If Ebola hits U.S., even healthy Americans will be quarantined. This is something that else that's very true and very real. With concerns growing over the deadly Ebola virus, which has killed 670 people in West Africa, preparations are already underway in the United States, where even healthy Americans will be subjected to forced quarantine in the event of an Ebola pandemic. The official CDC website details specific laws and regulations governing the control of communicable diseases, under which even healthy citizens who show no symptoms of Ebola whatsoever would be forcibly quarantined at the behest of medical authorities. Now, as I previously mentioned, I'm not a fan of all things CDC. The Border Patrol says we need help. They say go fly a kite. So I'm not backing them 100% to the tilt on that. But yes, this is a very serious situation where they say that if disease comes over in the form of Ebola, or I guess any other disease that's big enough at the time, they'll quarantine even healthy Americans. So when you have people coming over from whatever country carrying tuberculosis, carrying whatever else, you know, couldn't the same thing happen with another pandemic? And another example, let's say it's just a numbers game. So let's say you go to a big stadium, you know, you go see, you know, I don't know, the Rolling Stones or whatever, some huge 50,000 person stadium. Let's say 100 people show up and one out of 100 people is sick. You know, your chances of getting sick are probably pretty low if you have this huge stadium to move around in and one out of 100 people is sick. But if one out of 100 people is sick and this thing is jam-packed to capacity, you know, your chances of getting sick are pretty good, or at least increase. And it's the same thing with people coming over, you know, from whatever country. Once again, not saying that everybody's diseased from a foreign country, but you have to take these concerns seriously and don't let them shame you into thinking that this is just some type of racial issue. Gaza in perspective. Hamas does bidding of the Israeli state. On June 24th, a credible and highly respected Palestinian pollster commissioned by the Washington Institute conducted a survey revealing a solid majority of Palestinians reject violence and prefer a nonviolent popular resistance against the occupation, including demonstrations, strikes, marches, and mass refusals to cooperate with the Israeli state. And since Hamas is so hot in the media right now, we thought this is a good time for a refresher course. So here's Ron Paul talking about the history of Hamas.
If you look at the history, you'll find out that Hamas was encouraged and really started by Israel because they wanted Hamas to counteract Yasser Arafat. You say, well, yeah, that was better then and served its purpose, but we didn't want Hamas to do this. So then we as Americans say, well, we have such a good system, we're going to impose this on the world. We're going to invade Iraq and teach people how to be Democrats. We want free elections. So we encourage the Palestinians to have a free election. They do, and they elect Hamas. So we first, indirectly and directly through Israel, help establish Hamas. Then we have election. Then Hamas becomes dominant, so we have to kill them.
Analysis. Bill banning NSA data collection will not stop mass spying. While it is an improvement on previous legislation, the Senate bill aimed at cracking down on NSA data collection, unveiled this week by Judiciary Committee Chairman Patrick Leahy, will not stop the spy agency from accessing the communications of Americans. Analysis of the so-called USA Freedom Act, is nothing free about it, revealed that the bill will still provide the NSA spies with access to data on every phone call that is made to and from the United States. In addition, the probable cause standard under the Fourth Amendment is still not present in the legislation. And I do respect these guys for trying to help. And I'm sure it's a very difficult thing to get a good, solid piece of legislation through. But the thing going forward, everybody needs to realize you don't want to get into this position in the first place where you have to have bills and drafts and all these other things to combat things that shouldn't be existent in the United States in the first place. And it goes beyond the NSA. We see a lot of your sheriff's departments and police departments now doing things to track people in every conceivable way. We saw recently in New York, they want to track everybody's phone data because somebody decided to hike a flag up a pole. And once again, I understand it's a black eye for the city. It's pretty embarrassing to have something that visible happen, but that does not give you the authority to do mass spying, especially, you know, under this new, way we live now, this Big Brother system. And the Big Brother isn't just in New York, and it's not just in the airports here in the U.S. If you go abroad, now you're going to be tracked everywhere within the airport. Big Brother Airport installs first real-time passenger tracking system. And this is at the Helsinki Airport in Finland. And it says that mobile phones logged into the Wi-Fi network at Helsinki Airport will be monitored by an in-house tracking system that identifies passengers' real-time movements. And they say it's about a 150 white box deal. They're about the size of an internet router. And they say that you can also opt into the services and you can download an app or something like that. And it will give you sales and online coupons to go to your local retail store. So, you know, it's just another thing, just like we reported on last week with Verizon. They want to give you all the goodies to say, yeah, we're going to spy on you. Well, first we denied we were doing it, but now we are doing it. But if you want, you know, here's a free coupon. Here's a gift card to go to your local sports store. And I'm not going for it. I don't want to be spied on, even if they give you a goodie. But I don't know, maybe we were to the point where you might as well get the goodies because they're going to be spying on you regardless. And they have backdoors into all your technology. We've shown you those reports. It's even mainstream news now where they're saying cover up the cameras on your computers and also on your television sets because they can spy on you any way that they choose to. So it's just the surveillance slave state of the United States, and also I guess it's going worldwide now. And now I want to end tonight with this, at least end this segment with this, talking about one Larry Jackson. You guys may recall this about a year ago. I did a story about a gentleman here in the city of Austin. He goes to a bank after it had previously been robbed. And I will say this, you know, I'm not trying to make a racial issue out of this, but the person who robbed the bank was an older white gentleman. As you can see, Larry Jackson is, you know, probably 30-something black man. So Larry Jackson goes to the bank to commit a fraud, according to the police department. They yet to prove any of that claim. But they say he goes there, he commits a fraud, and he encounters a police officer who then chases him down the street. And so the officer chases him down the street, commandeers a vehicle to catch up with Jackson, and after a supposed struggle, Larry Jackson is shot dead by being shot in the back of his neck and dies on the scene. He was unarmed, might I add. So an investigation is held by the Austin Police Department, and they find out that the shooting was a justifiable homicide and file said report with the Attorney General here in the state of Texas. So the reason I bring this up is because everything I said previous is true and accurate, but I will like to issue a retraction in a statement saying that it wasn't originally filed by the Attorney General. It was filed by the Austin Police Department and posted by the Attorney General. I had previously said the opposite. So I do offer a retraction and apology to the people at the Attorney General's office. I will say that I do hope they do decide to investigate on their own behest, but it's not their deal. It goes back to the Austin Police Department. That's also not an endorsement of Greg Abbott. I'm damn sure not endorsing Wendy Davis, but I'm not endorsing Greg Abbott either. So, you know, you make mistakes, you try to set the record straight, and then you move on. That's what you do in real media. So that's it for this segment of the InfoWars Nightly News. I hope you go to PrisonPlanet.tv and get yourself a 15-day free trial. You can get the Alex Jones Show, the Nightly News, the Special Reports, the Rants, and so much more on PrisonPlanet.tv. Now, stay tuned. We'll have more special reports. The top 10 times the government lied to you when they said, hey, trust us. We're from the government. We're here to help. And also breakthrough technology being developed by normal citizens to combat the immigration crisis. This is the InfoWars Nightly News.
Alex Jones here to tell you about how you can help spread liberty worldwide while also enjoying what I have found to be the best tasting 100% organic coffee on the planet. For more than a decade, my favorite coffee has come from the high mountains of southern Mexico, where the Chiapas farmers grow their unique shade-grown Arabica beans. We have now managed to secure these sought-after beans in a highly customized blend. Discover and try a bag of the Patriot Blend 100% organic coffee at InfoWarsLife.com. This coffee gives you a long, smooth pick-me-up for hours without the headaches and heartburn that so many other coffees give me personally. Hands down, this is my favorite coffee. And it's taken us years to secure connections directly to the Chiapas Mexican farmers. Drop by the site today, order a bag or two, and I don't think you're going to be disappointed. Available in original or with our immune support infusion blend, you will be supporting a free press, all the while enjoying a truly great-tasting cup of my favorite coffee. Available at InfoWarsLife.com. This is Alex Jones for InfoWarsLife.com. The latest in preparedness is now here. An electrically stabilized colloidal silver solution that can be added to both your home cabinet and preparedness pack alike. Concentrated to 30 parts per million in what has been dubbed the survival silver solution. The new InfoWars Life Silver Bullet Colloidal Silver is the answer for you and your family. And it's entirely free of toxic artificial additives that are loaded into many products. The InfoWars Life Silver Bullet Silver is so powerful that it is concentrated into a 2-ounce bottle and is not recommended for extended continual use. This is not a low-grade formula. We are working with one of the top laboratory manufacturers in the United States to bring you the best form of colloidal silver using electrical processes within a base of deionized water. For your preparedness storage or your home kitchen, purchase your bottle of InfoWarsLife.com Silver Bullet Colloidal Silver today and find other amazing supplements at InfoWarsLife.com.
I'm Joe Biggs with InfoWars.com here with Glenn Spencer, and he is going to demonstrate the new technology that he has that he says, without a doubt, will secure our borders. So tell us about
this. Right. This is a remote camera operated over the internet, IP-based camera. These people are miles from here, out in the middle of the desert, and they are going to be beginning to walk. They're actually north of the border, and they're going to start walking south. And we'll see if we can detect them. What we do is, when we get ready to run a test, we go into a hole, everybody stands still, so we can pick up the background noise. Mm-hmm. Anything that's going on, that's background noise. So they'll go into a 2-minute hole, and then they will start walking. Interestingly enough, we believe we just had a couple of earthquakes or some other large energy source down there that hit all of our sensors at once. Isn't that right, Ren?
Yes.
Picked them up. Detection. See how far that is from the border?
Mm-hmm.
That was it. Look at that. Probably 600 feet. We've had consistently over the years detection of two people at 600 feet. Now, sometimes what will happen is just now, the adjoining sensor will say, oh, I picked them up as well. What would have happened is the GPS, our system would have sent out over the internet their location. If you're in the Border Patrol, suddenly that light lights up right there, their location, and under optimum conditions, we'd have our drone fly over, and by now we'd be flying over them, sending video back of who they are and what they do. Now, this is at least 5 miles away from where we are right now. We're convinced that a system like this, installed on the entire border, would tell the Border Patrol when the border is being penetrated, who's penetrating it. And even if they don't catch them, we would have a record of it.
Yeah.
You see? So we'd have a permanent record to evaluate how well the Border Patrol is doing. If they will count how many cross, subtract how many they catch.
Yeah.
measure of effectives, a metric for the border. This is what this country needs, so that we'll know that the border is secure. Then I think America, with a big heart, okay, would look more kindly on those who would appeal to us for... that's a nearby sensor. You know, they've gotten closer to the line. Another sensor went off. And the way we evaluate this is we have the system go off. If the camera swings around, we can see what it is that set it off. John has some cows down there. I don't know, John, if you know that you've got cows running around on your property, right? Well, they don't set this system off. They don't trigger it because our algorithm, our mathematical algorithm, can tell the difference between cows and rain and rabbits. So it is a low false alarm rate. The problem with the Border Patrol sensors is that their false alarm rate is over 90%. This is very low. So we believe that this is an important element for border security, and we would encourage Congress to take a close look at it.
For more information on this groundbreaking technology, go to AmericanBorderPatrol.com. Also, I encourage you to send this video to Congress. Why? Because this is the best and most cost-effective way to secure our borders right now. Stay tuned for more reports on the border. I'm Joe Biggs with InfoWars.com.
City of Austin tap water versus filtered City of Austin tap water.
I can, like, taste dirt in it.
God knows what's in this.
This has an aftertaste. Tastes like Austin water?
Yeah, it does. Ugh.
These people just sampled City of Austin tap water straight from the faucet. Next, we had them try a sample of tap water filtered through the ProPure G2.0 filtration system.
High quality H2O.
That one is better.
Tastes like nothing.
Yep, I know what good water tastes like. It's good water.
Most tap water contains added substances like fluoride, chlorine, Monsanto's deadly pesticide, glyphosate, and many others. Studies prove that these substances are linked to an assortment of major health issues, including tooth decay, lowered IQ, and even cancer.
It tastes like you're drinking out of the lake when you're drinking tap water.
Yeah, it has that processed flavor to it.
The ProPure G2.0 filtration system removes these deadly substances and many more, leaving only fresh-tasting, deliciously clean water.
Okay, this is very tasty.
It's good water.
Refreshing.
It's good.
Go to InfoWarsStore.com today. Use promo code WATER and save 10% off your ProPure purchase. Again, that's InfoWarsStore.com or call 1-888-253-3139.
The facts are in. The studies are legion. Sodium fluoride and other toxic members of the fluoride family are devastating the health and cognitive ability of the American people. I am extremely excited to announce the exclusive InfoWars Life Fluoride Shield formulation, fusing six of the best documented ingredients from around the world to help the body remove not just toxic fluoride residues from the body, but a whole host of toxic substances. Secure your fluoride shield at InfoWarsLife.com today.
Again, you might be right, but I don't see how you can say that everything we say is right and everything the Russians say is a lie. Well, that's exactly what you're
saying.
That's
not what I said. I said I would say that we are not two credible, equally credible parties when it comes to what we say publicly about the conflict in Ukraine.
And your argument would be that the U.S. is more credible than the Russians are.
I'm not even signifying that question with a response.
Well, I mean, you
said. Did you see that impression?
But we're more credible? Yes, we don't put out mass amounts of propaganda.
What did she just say? Now, contrary to that little fib that was told by the Defense Department spokesperson, the government pumps out plenty of propaganda, and they always have. Here are just a few examples.
We know with confidence, that the Ukrainians did not have such a system anywhere near the vicinity at that point in time. So it obviously points a very clear finger at the separatists.
In the days following the Malaysian Flight 17 attack, the Russian government released satellite photos that showed locations of Ukrainian Buk anti-aircraft missiles, and they also presented documentation that a Ukrainian fighter jet rapidly approached the Malaysian airline prior to its downing.
Posted on YouTube by the Ukrainian
government. Well, is there
government.
Anything, okay, is there anything other, because, you know,
I can keep going if you, or you want to
Well, is there stuff
jump in?
That's other than social media that
Yes,
that
absolutely,
about?
There
okay,
is.
So what is it that's other than social
At this
media?
Point,
Now, when their YouTube and social media proof weren't enough to launch World War III, the U.S. government was forced to concede that Russia was not directly involved in shooting down the plane, nor could they prove that those anti-aircraft missiles came from Russia. Now, just like it wouldn't have made much political sense for Russia to shoot down a commercial airliner, it wouldn't have made much sense for the Assad regime to release chemical weapons the very day that a UN team had entered the country to research such claims. But that didn't stop Secretary of State John Kerry from once again repeating endlessly and often baseless claims.
The Assad regime, and only undeniably the Assad regime, unleashed an outrageous chemical attack against its own citizens.
And once again, Kerry was not able to back up these claims with evidence. And in fact, Syrian rebels actually admitted responsibility for the chemical weapons attack. Yes, those same Syrian rebels the U.S. government had been secretly aiding militarily.
And the White House promised more direct military support is on the way, but aides would not disclose the specifics of the arms the U.S. is sending.
The MIT report Kerry cited as irrefutable proof that the Assad regime used chemical weapons actually showed that based on the range of the rocket that delivered sarin, it was too short for the device to have been fired from the Syrian government positions. And who can forget the package of lies delivered to the world about Saddam Hussein's weapons of mass destruction?
Weapons of mass destruction.
Weapons of mass destruction.
Weapons of mass death.
The government exploited the collective energy surrounding 9/11 to shift focus off of Osama bin Laden and onto Saddam Hussein, who had nothing to do with 9/11. Here's what President George W. Bush had to say just 6 months after 9/11 about the war on terror's most wanted.
So I don't know where he is, nor do I, you know, I just don't spend that much time on him, Kelly, to be honest with you.
Now, perhaps Bush just didn't want anyone to start questioning all the anomalies surrounding 9/11, just one of many being the invisible plane that hit the Pentagon.
An eyewitness who said it appeared that that Boeing 757, the American jet, American Airlines jet, landed short of the Pentagon. Can you give us any better idea of how much of the plane actually impacted the building?
You know, it might have appeared that way, but from my close-up inspection, there's no evidence of a plane having crashed anywhere near the Pentagon.
And remember those anthrax attacks following 9/11? Just 1 week before passage of the Patriot Act, letters containing anthrax spores were mailed to several news media offices and to two key Democratic U.S. senators who were coincidentally stalling the Patriot Act's passage. The letters seemed to have scared them and the rest of Congress into passing the Patriot Act without even reading it. Muslim terrorists were quickly ruled out after investigations proved that the letters contained a specific type of weaponized anthrax that could have only been made by a United States military lab. But that didn't stop Colin Powell from exploiting the attack.
Less than a teaspoonful of dry anthrax in an envelope shut down the United States Senate in the fall of 2001. Iraq declared 8,500 liters of anthrax.
Powell's move was a pivotal moment that scared America right into another war with Iraq. But let's not forget about the other huge lie the government peddled to get us into the first Gulf War.
They took the babies out of the incubators. Took the incubators and left the children to die on the cold floor.
That was Nurse Naira, whose tearful testimony swung the pendulum in favor of war. After the vote was safely passed, Naira, the daughter of the Kuwaiti ambassador to Washington, admitted to making the whole story up. Then there's the 1964 Gulf of Tonkin incident. President Lyndon B. Johnson lied to the American public and Congress in order to escalate the war in Vietnam. In his speech to the American people, Johnson blatantly lied when he declared that North Vietnam attacked U.S. vessels on the high seas. A Congress quickly passed the Gulf of Tonkin resolution, escalating the war in Vietnam. By 1969, over 500,000 troops were fighting in Southeast Asia. Johnson and his Secretary of Defense, Robert McNamara, had bamboozled Congress and the American people. In fact, North Vietnam had not attacked the USS Maddox, as the Pentagon claimed. And Johnson later admitted, "For all I know, our Navy was shooting at whales out there." And here's another, "Just trust us," that went bust.
does the NSA collect any type of data at all on millions or hundreds of millions of Americans?
No, sir.
It does not.
Not wittingly.
What I can say unequivocally is that if you are a U.S. person, the NSA cannot listen to your telephone calls, and the NSA cannot target your emails.
And have not.
And have not. They cannot and have not.
Then there's this lie of the year.
You can keep your plan if you are satisfied with it.
If you like the plan you have, you can keep it.
If you like your plan and you like your doctor, you won't have to do a thing. You keep your plan.
If you've got health insurance, you can keep it.
If you like your health care plan, you will keep your plan. You can keep your doctor. You can keep your plan.
If you like your doctor or health care plan, you can keep it.
What we said was you could keep it if it hasn't changed since the laws passed.
Then there's the big whopper rolled up into the Benghazi scandal.
What happened in Benghazi was, in fact, initially a spontaneous reaction to what had just transpired hours before in Cairo.
However, U.S. military personnel knew early on that the Benghazi attack was a hostile action and not a result of a spontaneous protest triggered by an anti-Muslim video.
What difference at this point does it make?
2 years later, smoking gun emails were released, proving the administration worked immediately trying to spin the attack as something other than their own strategic failures. So the list goes on and on. We're definitely witnessing a pattern here. And the government might think that they can just keep on playing the same trick over and over again, and the American people and the world will never wake up and realize what they're doing. But the problem with that is that the internet is forever.
But we have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it.
Why don't you eat up and we'll tell you.
Thank you for tuning in to the show tonight. We'll see you here again tomorrow at 7 p.m. Central.
You've experienced and heard about the benefits of Supermale Vitality. Now, the new formula has arrived. Introducing the new Super Female Vitality. I have specifically designed this formula to help the body naturally regulate itself without the use of artificial hormones. Key ingredients chosen from the highest quality sources. Secure your Super Female Vitality today from our limited stock at InfoWarsLife.com.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. Members can share their passcodes with up to 11 other people, and your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.